You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. Listen,
we
man.
We just teleported back to Hateville.
It's part two of the Commissioner's Conversation, bro. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. I am joined alongside my brother, Lico Brown.
Yes, sir.
We are every Monday located at 632 South Central Avenue in Hateville. We encourage you to come out, hang with us, kick it with us, spread love, network, talk shit, all of the above. We encourage you to come out and have a great time with us. In the building now, like I've been calling him all night, the financial guru. He's been trying to deflect it this way and this way. And the only reason why I say the financial guru, because I have more belief in what he's talking about and what he's telling everyone about than I do. Like, I don't have anything against the stock market, but the stock market is like shooting craps. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's like rolling dice.
It's like rolling dice. And it's for disposable income type.
So for my finances, if I want to actually get into some finances, I want to talk about building a business, finding tax deductions in those business, and then really what we seeing around Atlanta is you ain't a player if you ain't into no real estate. If you ain't in no real estate, you don't own nothing around the city. Then you ain't really doing nothing.
You're going to have less to say about the goings on of the city.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a guru to me, because if you can tell me the ins and outs and the laws and the restrictions and the covenants and all of these things, you can tell me all that. Somebody told me a long time ago, rock with people who are smarter than you.
The first question, I got a question. Come on, let's
get to it. Okay, we're going to get straight into it. My brother, Dr. David Anderson.
What up? Yo, first of all, fat shout to you and the brother Lico for putting this on. Yes, and the business owner of this establishment for allowing us to actually be here.
Yes, sir. Big salute to Bailey.
Young Bailey.
You know what I'm saying? Because to get brothers out like this, you know, the middle of the week, this is dope, man. This is dope. I'm feeling this.
Yeah, man, we try to give brothers a space where we can be ourselves, man.
Yeah, it's necessary.
Place in the world, they try to make you suppress yourself.
And we talked about it earlier, man.
Not in here, goddamn it.
We talked about it earlier. I love this atmosphere because it's intimate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's intimate. It's fellas sitting around, and we ain't got to be at no barber shop. We ain't got to be doing nothing stupid. We just sitting here. Having fun.
Conversing.
Talking shit.
Meeting other minds.
Having a good time. Networking. I vibe off you.
Everybody,
you vibe off him. You see what I'm saying? We got owners of whiskey. We got owners of cigars. We got owners of land. We got owners
of
music.
You got cats doing contracts.
We got people doing every single thing under the sun. Mm-hmm. And we just hanging out like, you know what I'm saying? We've known each other for 10, 15 years. And that's all I wanted to create, you know what I'm saying, to create that type of environment to where we can just kick it and have fun. Because what's going to happen is, like Robert, how we talked about it earlier when we talked about college. Right. It ain't what you know is who you know. Because what you can do is, if AB say, man, I know some veterans that need XYZ, he's like, sure, I can call goddamn.
Right.
And then it's a phone call away and it's done. That means something to a lot of people. That means something to you. So That's what this environment is for. It's for us to come in, have fun. We can be us, like Lico said. We can let our hair down, so to speak. Don't be afraid to say it, even though it might not be politically correct to say whatever it is. Say that shit.
Hell yeah, say that shit.
But we gonna have fun, and we gonna network, and we gonna rock with each other, because that essence of community is what's lacking in the black community.
Yeah, I'm with that. Plus, if the other thing is too, like, if somebody feel like they don't know, and you know, ask a question. Yeah. You know, yeah. There ain't no stupid questions, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Don't nobody feel like, oh,
this is a safe space.
Yeah, it is. You got to say that, man, because a lot of times cats be like, I don't really want to say
especially
nothing.
Especially black men, you know, it'd be hard.
I'ma look off, but Right now, our condition, our economic condition is so beyond messed up that we got to ask way more than questions. We got to start asking questions and implementing strategies immediately because we behind the eight ball.
Well, with that being said, the transition of Atlanta, man. I want to kind of get into it. Atlanta, we have people always talking about old Atlanta, new Atlanta, but you have to be able to move and operate. Yeah, you might have been old Atlanta, but it's going to be a new Atlanta. You got to be able
to. It's a whole new Atlanta coming. I mean, I got here in 94. You know, I went to Morris Brown College. Obviously, I'm from New York, from the Bronx. But I've been here. I watched this thing happen. You know what I mean? I'm watching it happen now. And it's more than just, oh, we got to get some property on the Beltline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Gates just touched down on Chappelle. And
Bankhead, what?
And yeah, Bankhead, but they call it Donnelly Hollowell now.
Yeah,
this dude just bought Overlook Atlanta.
Right,
that was the hood. That was like the bluff. You know what I mean? And yeah, and he bought.
Will you stop?
And so that's something to be concerned about because you don't move a whole entire campus from Seattle, Washington,
right,
to the bluff,
right?
Like, what's that about?
To the west side,
yeah,
and.
So, Bill Gates, man, like, look this up. This is important. Yeah. So, but what I'm saying this is because our grandma's house is on the corner.
Right.
And just 5 years ago, it was like $40,000.
It was.
Now, you could go on Zillow and you could type in that zip code, 30318.
$950,000. Yeah. Oh, see.
$950,000.
Right.
Right now. Currently from the low 900s. Right now.
Right.
Brock Bill is the developer. That's not too far from there. That's building there. The second question we need to ask is, what is Gates doing there? Because he has like three different campuses going on. So right now, off of Camp Creek Market, well, Camp Creek and Thornton Road, right where it turns, going into Douglas County.
Right.
They've manipulated the Chattahoochee. They've redirected the Chattahoochee River to run into the Google data center to cool down the servers. That's how hot the computers is getting. Right, so we got the main data center off of Camp Creek and Thornton Road.
Mm-hmm.
The switch, the Microsoft switch, is next to the Google data center. Right, so this is all of the data for all of Microsoft, all of the data for all of Google, all of the data is right here in Georgia for the whole fucking country. Right, so when we bring that back downtown, we got to look at when people are coming to Midtown, the corporate office is across the street from the BB&T.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's not only just put his technology here in Southwest Atlanta.
The whole infrastructure.
He's put his entire corporate office and now his campus where the workers are. So we got to be like, well, where are these workers going to live?
Because,
you know, they're not gonna live in St. John's Creek. They're going to be like, yo, what's up with West Midtown?
Right. And that's why a lot of times, you see a lot of these townhouses, condos, all of these things going up. They're popping up around. Like,
yeah, man, they popping up.
Because
$650,000.
And it's a one bedroom, like $650,000 for a motherfucking one bedroom, one bathroom. You like, God damn.
Well, yeah. Hold on.
So what this is doing? No, no, I'm saying, I was just gonna make this point. What this is doing is that this is putting pressure on the tax burden, right? Right. Like, if your grandma was there, let's say your grandma was off of Chappelle, and her house was like $350 before all of this went down.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a comp down the street for $950. We can safely say that grandma's house might be worth $600,000 to $700,000.
Yep.
Okay? Her tax bill just doubled.
Well,
because annually she would have been used to paying five G's.
As an appraiser, I was an appraiser before. Taxes are usually a year, maybe two behind.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
But to your point,
these
though,
comps right now are $950.
Right.
And if she's used to paying taxes on
$300.
They got to
pay taxes on $950 until you can get them.
In 2 years or 24 months, she's going to have to pay taxes on $700,000, $800,000.
Right. And then.
Her income don't support that.
And then she's going to lose her home.
So this is what I'm saying. We not, even if we own our own houses, when our economics are not set up that we bringing in cash flow to support the jump in what the value is
right.
going to be.
The industry lifestyle type, so to speak, yeah.
It's just minding your business, and now your shit is worth $800,000.
Right.
Now you got to pay taxes on that.
But they declare eminent domain anyway, so it don't matter.
Well,
they've made a move on the hood. And if we don't have the economic cash flow coming in, we're not going to be able to support it in the long haul. Black folks are being pushed out.
So that was my first question that I had. Legislatively, do you have any ideas on what we need to be doing? What do we need to be speaking on? Because that's what's allowing for them to create these box out situations.
Vote
for lack of a better way to say
in
it.
In my turn, like I don't I'm not big on like when and I tell my kids like
not
when
just
we go
vote,
you know what I'm saying? But hold up, but when we talk about like people who are running, vote locally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
I'm vote locally.
Like I don't give a damn whether you vote for who's the president. You know what I'm saying? I don't care who, but vote locally. Vote who's your sheriff. Vote who's a district attorney. Vote who's going to run your school system. Vote for those type of individuals because those people affect you immediately.
Your living conditions.
Yeah. Immediately.
Robert's an actual attorney. I'm sure he can speak to that. And then I got a response to your question. Rob, sure. What's your thoughts?
No, my thing is as far as voting, you're right. You got to vote. But on the other side, just look at history. Look at where we're going, right? I'm a little bit longer than David. I've been here since like 83. My family moved down.
Oh, so, shit. You're from Atlanta.
Kind of, but you know, like, so I've seen the old school changes, though, right? I've seen the first black commissioner. I've seen my former Sunday school teacher was Gwen Keys Fleming. Mm. So when I was in law school, she was the DA of DeKalb. She took on, I don't know how many of y'all remember the teacher scandal back in DeKalb back in the day, but she took on superintendent at that point. And then she left and went to Obama's White House, forgot to take me. But ultimately, we start looking at the trends, right? More people moving to Atlanta. More people are moving to Georgia. Why? I'll tell you, because I'm from here. I've been here like you. You're here too. How many times can you walk down the street and on the same street you see the preacher, the prostitute, the pimp, the drug dealer, and the businessman? I went to school in California. I can tell you, you don't see, there's no place like Atlanta.
There's absolutely
no place. And then guess what? You have a lot of people who aren't from here, like David, not picking on him. Why? Because you want people that look like you in those legislative positions.
Right.
So I think, honestly, if this election goes one way, we end up having a black governor, you're going to have more black people want to come down here as well as other people. So we just have to give over the fact that we now live.
I just want to say we fool. Please don't move.
Oh, man, they
coming. So two things real quick.
It's over with.
Two things.
Hollywood and Silicon Valley.
You got 17 Amazon distribution centers.
Well,
Hollywood, you got five different electronic
Valley
car companies.
And major logistics.
Hollywood. Exactly. So,
it's
I mean,
all down
you
here.
Have to read the news.
It's over with.
Yeah, it's over.
You can't stop the train.
Right.
You can't stop the train. But also, as Dr.
I stand corrected.
As Dr. Anderson would say, you got to also get with the trend, right?
Right.
In the industrial age, it was about the steam engine.
Mm-hmm.
In the internet technology age, it's about the technology. We're moving into the era of green technology. We need to start networking and working out so we can get on that business. Because look at what's happening
now. This brought me to my second question that I had. You being a real estate guy, okay.
How do we get in the game?
No. I know you got... I feel like I know the direction you're coming from and your knowledge base that you're going to present to us. But the question I got kind of off the track a little bit, but it applies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how do we really get ownership of land
in a
real way? Like, because the way that it's set up now, you can still lose your land. So that ain't ownership.
Everybody could.
Let's start. That's a good question.
Yeah,
that's an incredible question. So let's just set up some historical facts right quick, just to answer your question. In 1865, Lincoln quote unquote freed the slaves. That never really happened. What he did was it was a play to demobilize the South. It was a play to tell Negroes you're free. And then the masters would lose their labor because the economy was in the labor, right?
Right.
We were the economy. So the other part that's important to that when you're talking about reparations, right, is that Sherman had an act. You could Google this. This is a very important point. The Special Order Act number 15. What this act stated was that South Carolina, Georgia and Florida, very important. South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida had over 400,000 acres that was on the coast, the Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina coast, that was to be divvied up for every man who fought or died, or an heir of someone who died, or a gentleman that fought on the side of the freedom, right? The Union soldiers. Mm-hmm. So if your great-granddaddy fought in the Civil War, your great-great-granddaddy was supposed to get his quote-unquote 40 acres in the mule. This is where this concept came from, right? It never happened. This was an act of Congress. This was something they were supposed to give us. That never happened. So now you got the also the thing that was very important was that we were supposed to get a freedmen's bank. This was a bank that we could go to and we could get a loan, non-interest bearing loan, to be able to mechanize farms. We were supposed to get land and we were supposed to get some money from the government. This is a fact. This is a fucking act of Congress. None of that shit happened.
Right.
So my point is this. If we would have got those things in 1865, if your great-great-granddaddies had those things, they were able to mechanize their farms, they were able to produce products out of the ground and sell those products, what condition would we be in now to be able to make these plays?
Right.
Okay? So let's put a pin in that we're going to call that the groundwork for reparations, all right? So now the question is, we behind the eight ball, we don't have the resources that we should have had. We're not looking for them to give it to us, right? Ain't nobody marching about that. We marching about other things, but we ain't marching about that.
Right.
So now the question is, how do we get into this game? So now we got to understand that there's something called steering. So I don't know if, you know, y'all ever been on a farm and y'all ever seen heads or herd, but it's very interesting to me how a cowboy, and cowboys were black people. Who started
black,
this, right?
Absolutely. Black, yeah.
Cowboys would steer heads of cattle. Right? And we just use Black Angus as an example. If you go to the ag sales, the Black Angus sell for like $5,500 a head. The Black Angus is the best meat that you can ever get. Right? So when you go to the McCormick and Schmick's and you be like, yo, bring me that prime steak, that comes from the Black Angus cow. And the Black Angus cow, if you have like 10 cows, you just need one female cow. One male cow, one bull will impregnate 10 cows, up to 100. But I say all this to say that's big business, right? Because if you got these Black Angus cows and their 9 months gestation period, that's like $500,000 annually, which is 10 bulls.
Real quick, and that's what I think we talked about this one time right here when Rick Ross and Gilly were beefing. And he was like, I got a cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's money.
That tax break.
That's money.
A lot of people don't understand the difference between wealth and just
that's
doing
wealth.
But go ahead.
That's wealth. So I'm just trying to get into the importance of why we need to own this land. You know, yes, cattle is one game, but where I'm going with this is that if we understand that we need to own land, let's just deal with land. This is an asset that never depreciates. Land always appreciates, right? It don't never go in the opposite direction. So if we understand that we need it, we got to get into ways on how we can acquire it without using mortgages. So they're steering us is what I'm saying.
Basically.
They're telling us to go protect your family. You need to buy a house. You need to use a mortgage to buy your house, to protect your family, to move your family in. That's bullshit. The word mortgage in Latin, mort, means death. The second word means engaged. The shit literally means an engagement until death. But they're telling us, we got to go to protect our family. We got to go get this motherfucking instrument to go and put our families in this. Check this shit out, man. It gets worse.
No. That's the real shit. I did not know that.
Listen to this shit. This shit that I'm about to tell you is for real. This amortization schedule, this is the schedule of payments. This is the shit that when you go and get a mortgage, this schedule of payments is how they schedule the shit out, okay? Now, brush this shit. Am is the opposite of mort. Mort meaning death. Causation is the causation. So I'm literally scheduling the causation of a fucking slow-ass death. And the shit goes for 40 years. Niggas is signing mortgages with amortization schedules for 40 fucking years. What does this mean? This means that I'm paying the motherfucking note $3,000, $4,000 every fucking month, and I stay in this bitch for 28 years.
Yeah.
For fucking 28 years, I'm paying this $3,000 note. And all of my money for 28 years is going towards interest, not fucking principal. So I done paid $1 million for a fucking house that's worth $300,000. How are we able to build wealth on that? So I'm saying all this to say, we just got to change our strategies. We're being steered like these cattle that I'm, you know, brought that example up on, and we gotta recreate that. So how do we do that? One thing that we can do is that we need to start pressing these court systems. A lot of times, cats want to get into the real estate game and they want to buy from the same place that the banks are going to unload toxic assets. So this is what I'm saying with that. Let's just say the banks call a toxic asset is a house that's not performing. This is the house that motherfuckers are squatting in. This is the house that motherfuckers ain't paying the mortgage on, right? And the banks call this on their books. They say, yo, these assets are toxic. We can't do shit with this. So they go to the courthouse steps and they foreclose on this house because the bank can't manage it. But on TV, they telling you, yo, you can be a real estate investor. All you got to do is go to the courthouse and buy the same fucking product that the bank can't manage. Who the fuck's doing that? So we got to get into some shit where it's like, well, wait a minute. That's some bullshit. Let me find the house that this motherfucker got to sell because he done told the court that he got to give up this house because he's getting a divorce. Let me find that shit.
Right.
Let me find the fucking house where the motherfucker who was selling this rock got busted, but at least this nigga was taking his dope money and he was buying houses, and now he got to motherfucking cooperate with the court. Cooperate not in snitching, but cooperating to lower this goddamn sentence, this 40 years. Let me lower this shit because this DA ain't playing.
Right.
And let me give up some of this land that I might own so I can lower my fucking sentence to 7 years, maybe get out in two. That shit right there is another a way or avenue if we find that. I'm just saying, this is what goes on. This is what's happening. When motherfuckers get jammed up and they got some goddamn land, the DA comes in and says, get that shit up. And you got to goddamn sign that shit over to the fucking sheriff, and the sheriff sells your shit, and depending on how much money the sheriff gets, you break your time down. This is how opportunity is found. All right? If you don't pay your HOA, let's make it real simple.
Yeah.
You live in a fucking house, and you don't pay the goddamn HOA.
Homeowners Association.
The Homeowners Association. You don't pay that $300 every fucking month. They selling your shit. They don't give a fuck about if you owe Deutsche Bank $1 million. They selling your shit because you signed to the covenants and the motherfucking bylaws in that community. So what I'm saying is, between not paying your HOA fees, motherfucking selling dope, getting caught up in the game, from motherfucking not paying child support. How many brothers is on this motherfucking child support shit? You can't pay that. They taking your house. There's other ways besides the mortgage. There's 30 other ways. And Robert's a damn attorney. I didn't even pass the bar. This nigga's the attorney. There's 30 other ways to foreclose in Georgia. And we not even looking at that. We're just looking at, let me buy this fuck-ass mortgage and let me figure out, because I think I'm smarter than the goddamn bank, let me figure out a way to take that and then go back to the same market to try to sell it at a premium. That is the craziest shit that I've ever fucking heard in my life. Why would I not go find the nigga who ain't paid the goddamn HOA fee, pay that shit for $10,000, and then sell that motherfucker for $250,000? Why am I being told, steered, just like the fucking cattle, to go to this market and pay a premium for something, and I need some equity? I'm behind the eight ball 400 years.
Oh yeah, we're being steered to do everything.
So this is all I'm saying. I'm just saying we need to come at this thing in a different way. They call it on the market, they call the shit arbitrage, right? Arbitrage is a practice of buying something for the low and then selling that shit for the high.
Right.
That's what we need to practice. We need to practice strategies and ways in which we can enter into the market to locate where we can buy these things for very, very little and sell them for very, very high and just rinse and repeat that. And that's really all it is. It ain't no magic sauce. It ain't no guru shit. It's a very simple rinse and repeat of arbitrage, real estate arbitrage.
But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, even with that, though, there's a mind state. Like, there has to be a change of mind state, because I can remember, personally, I was doing a lot of stuff with real estate. I'm appraising.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a lot of things with real estate. And I told my pops, I remember this was had to be like 03, 04, 05. I'm like, yo, I'm going to buy this crib over in Pittsburgh off University Ave and McDaniel Street. You know,
very good spot.
Right where my grandfather,
Whitehall,
my mother grew up. I'm gonna buy this shit. This shit was like 18 grand. I bought my pops, legit, I let my dad talk me out of that. Oh, that shit ain't gonna be no good, blah, blah, blah.
Let me speak to that right quick.
Just for that today to be going crazy.
Half a million.
I mean, the land alone is like 200,000.
Oh, anything over there in Pittsburgh, 500,000.
I'm talking about just land. Like,
yeah, land.
They'll
yeah.
knock down the building and build something new. They just want the land. Like
we have to start listening to ourselves, man. You know, the barbershop is cool, and I'm not knocking the homies at the barbershop, but sometimes our plans are too important to be sharing with cats that ain't even thinking like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we got motherfuckers in here got, I'm assuming, children. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That might be ready for some type of school where you got to pay the private school note or college, right? Right. So it ain't no time to be thinking about dumb shit. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers got to make plays, and the plays got to connect. So we have to be careful on who we share our actual plays with. Yeah. You should only be sharing your plays with playmakers.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can't sit here and tell the barbershop not to knock the barbershop cat, because the barbershop is a very powerful place. You got a brother's mind for 45 minutes to an hour. You can mold that joint. You can put some jewels in there, drop bombs. But a lot of times, cats use that time not to the best advantage.
Yeah.
They talking about the game. They talking about hoes. They talking about this bitch that he was fucking. They not really talking about the play.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for cats that have to make plays, like, I'm a playmaker. I got a payroll. I got people depending on me. I got parents in New York. I'm fucking taking care of them. I got another family from a previous marriage. I got a kid at Harvard. Like, I got shit going on, right? I can't be not making plays. So I have to be more cognizant on who I share my ideas, my dreams, my vision, right, and my plays with.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because I got to fucking connect dots. And what I notice with women is, like, with women, when you're not connecting
dots. Be careful,
dots,
man. Be careful.
I'm just saying.
No.
When you don't connect the dots, right, they give you a certain amount of time. It's like a fucking
the sands of
time.
Yeah.
They say, all right, nigga, I'm going to let you be this entrepreneur Negro that you are.
You're on the clock.
You're on the fucking clock.
Yeah.
And some of these hoes will let you go down 36 months, 24 months, 12 months, some of them 6 months. But if cats can't make the play because they don't have the information, they don't have a support team, they don't have the vision, they lose. They always talking about, oh, Doc, I need the money. I need the money. Fuck the money. You don't need the money. You need the support team. You right. need the vision. And if you have those things, you can make the play.
Right.
Then the money comes.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you don't got that, and your bitch is riding you, talking about, nigga, what the fuck? The goddamn lights is off.
Because I'm used to having. Because
she wants shit. She's talking to her fucking friends. Her fucking friends is in the goddamn hair salon talking that bullshit. Oh, bitch, you need this. Bitch, you need that. And this nigga over here trying to figure out the goddamn play.
Right.
But he don't have the support.
Right.
He don't have a team. Mm-hmm. Business is a team motherfucking sport. This shit is not it's not me. I don't do this shit by myself. I got a fucking team.
Right.
A team of very elite real estate professionals. They come to work every fucking day ready to make the play. So we got to set ourselves up like that. We got to be on some team sports shit with the business. Just like y'all motherfuckers broke down the business, the game.
A football.
Oh, my God. On another fucking level, I was texting Robert. I was like, oh, shit, I got to get up my football game. What the fuck these niggas talking about? But that's playmaking.
Right.
You've done your research. You read. You know what's up. You on the market. You on the post. You know who's trading who. That's how we need to be, man, with our business gangsters.
Exactly.
And so that's all. That's what my mission is. I'm sorry, we got some questions.
No, you good. I just want to say
you
said something that was cold because we marching for the wrong thing. Now, I'm always when in Rome, you do as the Romans.
Right.
So I don't want to get too conspiracy hype with
that's
it.
That's all good.
But the problem with
hold on, I want to say this. We got a lot of deep brothers scared to get deep.
Nah, we here, man.
They don't want to step on nobody
else's
toes. Listen, I was writing a book before all this COVID shit, bro. It was called The Deliberate Deception of Black America.
Right.
But I had to put a hold on it because everybody ain't ready for it. But what I want to say is the problem why, see, brothers like this is a seed, and then you pass on as much as you hope that you can unplug as many people as possible.
Right.
But the main problem with Black America, why we're in trouble, is because we don't know the difference between being legal and being natural.
Okay.
And it's a difference. We are legal people, and we can never be natural by definition of what the Constitution said. The Constitution is, listen, the United States is the United States Constitution of America. They got a tax ID number. So there's no such thing as the United States of America as an independent country. United States has been changed by the same thing you just said, by the 14th and the 15th Amendment, that it is a corporation. Right. And we are legal people by definitions. Yeah. We can only
your
get service.
Number
we listen, that right, your yeah. Social Security is yeah. How they trade you on the stock market.
Right.
So because we don't know the definition of being legal and natural, we fall under principles that we don't get a dead person is legal. Whoa, look up the definition of legal. The definition of legal means listen, the definition of a legal person is somebody who's not natural and not real.
Right.
Black people can never be natural people. A natural person is somebody who has inalienable rights under God. So who serves you? Is it the United States Post Office or United States Postal Service? They two different entities in the yeah. same building. You don't even know who serves you. If you have never filled out a wow. UCC-1 and an N Form 8, you don't manage your own affairs. Your affairs are managed for you. You don't know the difference between the Superior Court and the Administration Building. They're in the same building, but you don't know who's servicing you. So the problem is we can get service and we can move ahead, but the fight is we really don't want to fight. And the people who know it, they don't want to take it on. They don't want to take it on the difference between being legal and natural. And until we have that fight, black people are always going to be considered as legal people by definition, and we'll never get any clarity outside of the United States Constitution of America. We are actual citizens of that corporation. When that corporation dies, we die.
Right.
So that's the truth. But we can still do it in Rome as the Romans do. But technically, the reason we'll never get ahead because we don't know what we are, and we don't want to take that fight.
Grab the mic, G.
I've been trying to do a little study on that. How did that come about with the, and I can't not remember because I just started doing a study on it, about the treaty?
Yeah, but it happened when, and you touched on it, but it was when land was taken. And I'm trying to remember the brother's name. But
it was that Dr. Claude Anderson wrote a book about the Indian treaties, 1866.
Yeah, but in 1847, the brother's name was Sumatong. He owned land, he owned everything. Mm-hmm. He was the only one that the Dred Scott.
Oh, the Dred Scott case.
If you familiar with Dred Scott,
uh-huh.
Right. The Dred Scott case.
Yeah, you're talking about Dred Scott decision, yeah.
Right, so Dred Scott owned everything, and one of the slave masters came back and said, you know what, I ain't gave you nothing, boy. He said, listen, my family members freed you, but I want everything back. And in that challenge, they went to court.
Right.
And, the United States Supreme Court said that they upheld what this family members said, because you are not a legal person. And by definition, black people cannot be legal.
But that's my point.
They ratified the 14th Amendment.
The land has more rights as land than we do as people, which is why I'm further stating that we should own land.
Right. So people are going to say that they fixed that bill. They never fixed it. What they did was ratified the 14th and the 15th Amendment to make everybody fall under corporate policy rights.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now, this is the United States Corporation of America. It's not the United States of America.
Right.
You fall under the United States Corporation of America, has a tax ID number, and every agency, that's why they created agencies for you to manage it. So the VA is an agency.
Right.
The IRS is an agency. Exactly. So, I mean, it's so much deeper.
You're right. But this is what we need. I want, Rob, I want you.
That's what we need, bro. Put us on the game, bro. Yeah.
Well, I'll just shift it a little bit, right? Because as David said, I do a lot of eviction cases, right? So right. I always jokingly tell people, it feels weird, but I'm the society's boogeyman now, right? Like, oh, you're evicting me from my house because I lost, or you're right. evicting me because I owe $10,000 in rent. So this is a problem I see right now where we're at. Just immediately ground level. COVID happened. Government released money, right? My opinion, again, David reads a lot of books. One called Big Debt Crisis. But what is the government supposed to do in an emergency, right? Do you let the people wither and die with austerity, or you just flood the market with money? You flood the market with money and worry about it later, right? But there's people now, you probably won't believe it, but they've been doing rental assistance for almost 2 years. And at some point you're like, all right, the government or some other private agency has been paying for you to live for 2 years. When do you get off of that, right? So every time I'm in Cobb County, Fulton County, DeKalb County, I'm sitting here talking to people who look like us, because let's be real, majority of people in eviction court African American. It's about quality of life. I have to sit there and talk to people. It's funny that you mentioned Fort Valley earlier and like, hey, live in Columbus where Columbus rents maybe cost you $500.
Right.
But if you're working a remote job, you're making $3,000, now you have that much more money to spend on your family and yourself. If you live in Macon, and I think fundamentally that's what we're going to see happen here in the next year or two. People are going to have to come to grips with the fact that Metro Atlanta and Atlanta in general has changed. You have to figure out where you want to live and how you're going to survive. And on the South Side, that's where the money's flowing. So all I can tell you all on the South Side is you got to get ready. People found out about Clayton. People found out about what's.
Fayetteville.
Lamar County. What's the county with
all
the
of it is good, man.
I mean, it's all good, but again, people are spreading good. Out. People are spreading out. I was actually talking about Spalding County. But people are going further and further out because, again, you just got to follow the money, right? The North Side is kind of full. Majority of money resides down Forsyth County.
Yeah, Forsyth is the Alpharetta, number one. Forsyth, Hall, and Oconee
Fulton,
are the 1, 2, and 3 counties in the whole damn state. So, and then it's Fulton and Fayette.
So you just got to look at the numbers, and then you have to start dealing with reality. And the question is, where do we start to make that change? Because, again, like you said, going on real estate.
Seems like so much can be done before we even get to that. I mean, like, those are key components. But the reason why I was asking those questions before was just on some, like, actually moving the needle for real. Because the land is definitely the underlying problem for everything that you were saying. Like, that'd be the main reason why other nationalities can come here and get things done. That Asian hate bill get passed like that. These people come from a land that have a whole system that in the field of world politics must be respected. You know, we try not to infringe too much country to country. That's how wars and disruption starts and messing up commerce. So his original point is owning land.
Yeah, we got it too.
His point was why we are basically in the situation we are in because we can never be damn legal we can never be natural based on the law of the land.
Right.
And you said what ties in and what seems to tie in for me is the only way to fix all of this stuff is vote. So, shouldn't we? I'm not trying to take away from your whole point of being here, but like, shouldn't we start there? Ain't that where we should be starting? I became solution based in all of this because it was so much information being.
Starting where?
As far as having
voting,
true citizenship, owners. You gotta be a true citizen of something somewhere to have true ownership.
Well, all right, I'm gonna change it back.
The rug is already taken up from up under us, so you can own all the land is what I'm trying to get to,
right?
And still lose it for some bullshit reason.
I got one quick question.
Look up legal versus natural.
What's your question?
I get you.
Olympics, right?
They came in, Summer Hill, Techwood, they bought all that up, right? Back in 97 and 99, I used to work over there on Barn Street, Summer Hill, teaching kids at Ralph McGill Elementary.
Okay.
When I was over there, some days I'd get off, and it'd be Braves still at Turner Field. I'm sitting there, I remember one day I was walking down the street. He ain't say that. He kept going. I was over there helping cleaning up the area and shit, right? I saw a book of Nostradamus, right? Right next to that book, I saw syringes and shit, crack pipes and all that shit. Lady came up and y'all doing a great job. I told the lady, I ain't from here though. Why am I cleaning up? Why I care more about your community than you care about it? Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? She couldn't say that. I was kidnapped by a crackhead mama over there because I'm bow leg and one leg. No bullshit.
Ain't nobody kidnapping
no,
your ass.
No bullshit.
Ain't nobody kidnapping your
ass. Don't nobody want you, nigga.
But check me out. I'm going to make my point, though. I'm going to make my point. But check me out.
You know how much they would have had, how much rope they would have used?
You know what I'm saying? Check this out, though. My thing
How heavy your motherfucking ass is to get in the car?
You got these white folks that done came in the same area, Brent Falls, Summer Hill, and all that, right?
Been there longer than that. It's been
$40,000 or more.
Yeah.
They come over here and they go buy that lot and they sell this shit for $300,000-$400,000. But then next thing you know, we get pissed off, right? Because they said, "Well, we gonna send the people." But when we had the shit, it was crime, prostitution, all that over there.
Well,
but we never had
that. But even I'm with saying, that, look, they pride on what you don't
we
know.
This is Dr. Anderson's point.
What you don't know is what you don't know, and we gon' and if you don't realize what you have, if I can have this piece of paper right here, if this piece of paper is worth $500, but I just think it's gonna go in the garbage. What I don't know is what I don't know. Somebody can pick this shit up right up at the garbage and say, "Hey man, I got $500. You want $500 right here, $600 right there, and go ahead and auction it off."
A lot of those
houses were owned by black people, but if you look at the house next door might have been sold for $14,000, the house across the street for $18,000, and then what you think is like, oh shit, I got to go ahead and get rid of this shit because this shit's going downhill, blah blah blah, and then a year later it's going for $600,000.
And not to get too far away from.
The value of the property never depreciates, but the cap always appreciates. You just look for the quick buck. The people will get moved out. So like I'm.
See, Doc, whole thing from my perspective is like he, like be let's be smarter about how we even approach the whole. Let's reteach ourselves and not be believing in so much of these dead ends and these no prosperity routes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This doesn't have anything to do with education or uneducation. This has to do with all, like, as a man, right? Just as a man, you have to own land. So I don't know how much, what y'all believe or whatever, but in every book in the Bible, it says, God says you must possess the land. This is him speaking to us. This ain't no motherfucking, I think you should do this. This nigga says, possess the land. It's a fucking commandment. Possess the land and then to further subdue it. When you read the Quran, if you're Muslim, it's the same shit. Muhammad says to own land. The Jews, in Jewish benevolent law, it's a motherfucking abomination to God not to own. This is in the Talmud. Mm-hmm. They got the fucking Jews got 28 books just dedicated to fucking finance on how they should conduct themselves as quote-unquote so-called Jews. So when we get into religion and we understand that as a man, we are supposed to own land because that's like our relationship with God, then how the fuck do we not own land? How are we fucking renting when in this goddamn Talmud, the shit says you must own land? If you don't, it's a fucking abomination. Like, you don't love God if you don't. So my point is, if we don't have access to clean water, right now, I hit you with this shit right here. Our water filtration system goes just like this. When I'm in my house and I take a shit, the shit goes into the fucking commode. The commode goes into the sewer system. The sewer system goes down off of that motherfucking 14th Street and Northside Drive to the treatment center. The motherfuckers boil the water, and they send that shit right back to the goddamn house, and motherfuckers drink it. Why are we drinking the goddamn water from the tap when we just shit and sent the water down to treatment? Chloride, fluoride, and all the other odds. St. Ives, all of that shit is in the water. And we drinking it. So these motherfuckers is controlling this water. So I say this to say, if we own land, right? This is just a thought. If we own the fucking land, the water table in Georgia is just 400 feet down. But motherfuckers don't own no land. They can't drill down 400-500 feet to get no goddamn clean spring mineral water. We got to drink the city fucking water. So you get it. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Your dad owned land.
That's what he's saying.
That's my point.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is
he didn't depend on anybody.
They don't know. It's because, I mean, it's a lack
No. So check it out. That they don't know shit was fucking cool back in the day when niggas would hide shit in the book. You want to keep shit from a nigga, put it in the book.
But it's true.
No, it's not.
No,
it's not. It's not. Because this fucking shit called Google and this bitch called Alexa. Listen, man, we can figure anything out right now. We could be like, niggas could be like, yo, fucking Alexa, what the fuck? Am I this side? And the bitch is going to tell you, your dick is 9 inches long. So this shit is, the whole shit of I fucking don't know is out of here because these niggas is listening to us right now. They're like, whatever the fuck I say, when I leave out of here, they're going to send me a goddamn advertisement on it and be like, oh, this nigga wants to buy X, Y, and Z. So all I'm saying, exactly, on goddamn Thornton and Camp Creek.
Like,
so all I'm saying is we living in a society where our capital has changed. We information capital, knowledge capital. That shit is available for free. We're not synthesizing the information. We're not applying that information to make money. We're just not. These people are coming over here and they getting it. They getting it on another level. Well, how the fuck do these niggas come over here
hungrier.
And they raising capital to buy hotels? How does the fucking Patel family, a whole fucking family, last name Patel, come over here and buy hotels? How the fuck does that happen?
Well, all right.
I'm sorry,
brother.
Read a
book. Well, no. Going back to it. Some of it's cultural, right?
Yes.
A lot of Asians and Indians do that. You know why? Because they know the banks will screw them and charge them a higher rate. You remember in Alpharetta, was it 3 years ago, how all those burglaries were going on? Because people know they keep large amounts of cash for that reason. So you can't sit and act like people don't experience these traumas all the time. But what Dr. Anderson just said, honestly, I'm going to put it back in a historical context, right? Life always changes. We have to get over the fact that we think it's the same. Yeah. Like how you all were just talking about football players. It happens. Tom Brady gets old.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald retires. Back during the Civil War, what was the number one state for all this in the South? Mississippi. Mississippi was the engine.
Because they had everything.
They had the river.
They had the water.
Right before.
Mississippi
right.
River.
Yeah, they had the water. They had the land.
You
that grows stuff.
You had cotton. You had all of this.
Before the Civil Rights Movement, it was going to be between Birmingham, Atlanta, and Charlotte. Atlanta just so happened to win out.
Right.
So what we're trying to say now is you all need to take advantage of the fact that we know what's coming to Atlanta. And going back to what you said with the law, I say this as a lawyer, right? It burns my heart all the time. I'm a movie guy, right? So I always got to quote movies. Blade 2, Wesley Snipes. Vampire says it best. Who do you think God favors in the web, the spider or the fly? We live in a capitalistic society. Who do you think the government's going to favor, the capitalist or the worker? So that's one. The second thing is this infrastructure bill just came out. It's going to take time. But they're essentially just showing you foresight what's to come. We're going to connect a highway from Augusta to Macon.
Savannah, Macon.
We're going to do all this other stuff. The problem is we're not having these conversations right now so we can get on it. Because honestly, the big thing that David didn't mention that gets me all the time that we got to talk about eventually is death. You know how many deals go down in the state law? As they like to say, most people, when somebody dies, we don't pass land on to each other.
Right.
Yeah. We pass a bill. Damn, we have to pass ahead. How many times do we watch and read the news? It's like, start this GoFundMe page for this family. Start this GoFundMe page for that.
Not even the GoFundMe page. I would say this, man. As a person who probably grew up lower middle class, I have heard uncles say, these niggas ain't gonna get none of this from me. I'm gonna goddamn when I die, it's gonna be a bill. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all gonna have to pay. You know all this random stuff. Like they would pride themselves. I'm like, nigga, I'm not gonna give.
That's
you
the
nothing.
Uninformed. There's two schools of thought, right? It's the informed and it's the fucking uninformed, right? The informed, what they do, and this is a play. I don't know if y'all listening or not, but here's a play. The FDIC only covers the bank up to $250,000.
True.
Right? So shouldn't nobody have more than $250,000 cash in any bank? Yeah. It don't matter if you got multiple accounts, sub-accounts. If you got more than $250,000, they not covering that shit.
Right.
So these niggas that be talking about, oh, I got $1 billion in the bank, that shit is stupid.
Right. All right?
That's the fucking uninformed. The informed, they get, if the $1 million comes in, the first fucking thing you doing is calling New York Life, Mass Mutual, motherfucking Lafayette, and you giving that shit to them niggas, right? Because New York Life in 72 hours is going to turn around and say your $1 million is available, cash, right, for you to access, and they're gonna give you a $3 to $5 million death benefit depending on your health.
Right.
So now, if your ass do go out here and get hit by a goddamn truck, your family getting a check for $3, $4, $5 million. If your bitch can't manage $5 fucking million to get these kids through school, the fuck is she doing? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's $5 fucking million.
Right.
So all I'm saying is, we have to stop. I said it earlier. We're being steered to put our money in the fucking bank. The bank is giving us 0.01.25% interest. Who the fuck's doing that? Right. Whereas the insurance companies we're banking on our lives. We should not be taking out loans to buy fucking houses. If you're gonna take a fucking loan out, it should be against your life. Your life is the most important thing that you have. It's the most important thing you have. I'm not borrowing from a fucking bank. I'm not going to Bank of America and begging them to give me a fucking deal to go buy real estate. The banks don't lend to buy real estate.
Right.
So I'm a bank on my life. I'm gonna go and take out a fucking loan against my life and go do a deal and make the money back and put the money back in the insurance policy. But we're not talking like this, man. But we're not talking like this.
I want to put a pin. Hold on, right quick. But you
becoming your own bank.
You see, like I said earlier, he kind of shunned it. I called him a financial guru. He was like, oh, that ain't me. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that ain't me.
I'll take it.
But what he's telling us today and what Rob is telling
be
us today.
Be smarter.
And they're educating us on some of the things that they're shining a light on some of the shit that I know I didn't know. I can't say what y'all know and what y'all don't know, but I can say a lot of stuff that I didn't know. And it's more concrete than what others will have you believe. They'll have you believe that you should put a 401k and the stock market goes up.
401k
and
it goes
down. 401k been
there. You know what I'm saying? They'll have
I'm not
you
saying
believe.
Don't have a retirement, but I'm just saying let's just break that shit down since you brought it up, right? The way the 401k work is, this is the shit, right? It's a retirement plan, okay? And now I'm on the job. I'm putting in whatever, $1,000 a fucking month. And Mr. Charlie over here, my fucking employer, is matching that shit, right? So now Mr. Charlie's putting $1,000 in. I'm putting that's 2 G's a fucking month times 12. That's $24,000 a year. I give Mr. Charlie 10 years of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's $240,000 after 10 years. The fuck am I doing with $240,000? I can wipe my ass with that. I'm going to spend that at the fucking tax sale every fucking month.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, if I stay there for 20 years, I got $500,000. Joe Biden put a report out early this year that says you need $5 million to retire. So why the fuck are they telling us to stay on the job, do the employee match program for 20, 30 years, and then you'll be able to retire? It's fucking impossible. It's not calculating for inflation, for the cost of medical care, what the fuck gas is going to cost in the future. None of that shit's being tabulated.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, the same effort, instead of using the 401k, because in the 401k, what they don't tell you, most important point, is the goddamn government is your partner. CalPERS, CAULPERS, Google this shit. They're the measurement. They measure the wealth of nations. CalPERS measures the wealth of nations. CalPERS says the United States has $392 billion in liquid assets. What that shit means is, if them niggas need some fucking money to go get to the Ukraine, they not taking it from the tax surplus. They taking it from your fucking retirement account because that money is fucking sitting there. That's CalPERS. These are the same niggas that say that the fucking Norwegians got $3 trillion in their goddamn retirement funds. The Japan Post, the Nippon Post has another $8 trillion. These motherfuckers measure wealth of nations. This is their report. So all I'm saying is, if we already behind the eight ball as black people, then why the fuck are we using a 401k in which the government is my partner to build wealth? They got some shit called the Roth IRA. This shit is fucking important. Yes, you should write this shit down. Mm-hmm. Everybody in this room should have a self-directed. Listen to what the fuck I'm saying. Self-directed. Not that shit at Edward Jones. That's nice if you got one. Oh, Dr. Anderson, I got some shit at Smith Barney. Very nice. Oh, I got some shit at Morgan Stanley. I'm happy for you.
Right.
A self-directed IRA. This shit is very simple. You can contribute up to $6,000 annually into this Roth. The reason why this shit is important is because if your shit is in the Roth IRA and you go do a fucking deal and you go buy a house for $6,000, $12,000, whatever the fuck it is, that capital gain, meaning the shit, the money that you make, the distance between what you paid and what the shit sells for, that whole capital gain goes back into this motherfucking Roth IRA tax motherfucking free. And so what I'm saying is, we doing deals in our personal name. Oh, goddamn, Dr. Anderson, I motherfucking bought me a goddamn house. Well, how the fuck was the shit structured? Oh, I had that shit in my personal name, shouted. Motherfucker, you could have put the shit in a Roth, and then we don't got to deal with the 40% tax bracket. These motherfuckers on capital gains want 27 plus penalties. That shit comes out to 40%, meaning on $100,000, you got to give Mr. Biden and company 40 racks.
Right.
Whereas if I just did the same fucking transaction, titled the shit to my Roth IRA, Dr. Goddamn Anderson for the benefit of the Roth IRA, and sold the shit, the goddamn capital gain goes into Roth tax-free. So it's the same effort. It's the same structure. It's just structured differently.
Right.
It's not structured with this bullshit that they telling us with this 401k shit. It's structured in a tax-free environment. That's how wealth is built. Wealth is built constantly having capital gains go
getting
into a tax-free environment.
Getting as much money as you can get without letting them take none back from you.
Well, it's all on, about no, tax mitigation.
Hey, hold on. But, see, but once again, I just like to say, hold on. You have a YouTube page. You have all of the podcast. Everything. I want you to plug all this.
Yeah, yeah. So real quick, we do this thing called Wealth Wednesday on V103 sister station, WAOK, every Wednesday morning for the past like 2-3 years. And so we up on Rashad Richie Morning Show doing the doing what we're doing right now. So you welcome to check that out. That's on the Odyssey app. You can check it out, WAOK 1380. Trying to get Greg Street since Kenny ain't on the radio no more and the Earn Your Leisure dudes ain't on there. Trying to get Greg to give us some airtime. We'll see how that goes. But I also do a radio show called Blackonomics. So Blackonomics started in 2009 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. And I'm kind of proud of that because that led to the impetus of something called the Empowerment Radio Network, in which we were like the only black-owned radio network. So we had Roland Martin on in the morning, and we went to Warren Ballantyne, and then we had Rashad Richie. We actually gave Rashad Richie his first opportunity in syndication. So and then we had Bev Smith and Professor Griff. So I got a little bit of radio chops, but this Blackonomics show ran for 10 years consistently, from 2009 to 2019. So I'm excited about that. We're about to relaunch that on Saturday morning. So you know, you can go to YouTube, type in Dr. David M. Anderson Sr. I got this commendation in the studio from YouTube for having over 500,000 views for non-entertainment-related content. And the views, which is interesting about this little plaque they gave us, is that the views were longer than the five-minute views that they normally give for entertainment. My shit was running for 45 minutes to an hour.
Because you're learning.
Because motherfuckers was dialed in. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Just go and check it out. Check out the YouTube page. I'm the Entrepro Negro on the gram. I'm at Blackonomics on the Fed book. Dr. David M. Anderson Sr. on the
what is it on IG again?
The Entrepro Negro.
You know what? And I don't listen to your show.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Michael Imhotep, I see you. People checking us out on the Facebook. But yeah, our whole goal right now, and it's not isolationist talk because I don't want motherfuckers to be like, oh, this thing is racist. My goal is manhood. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. Because I just think that a lot of these challenges that we have in the household can be solved if we had extra resources. A lot of times if y'all coming home late and all this shit and it's an argument, I'm sure that shit could get shut down if the house didn't have a mortgage on it and if them cars that was outside didn't have no notes and your boats and shit was all paid off. I'm sure your lady friend wouldn't be, you know, all tight when you come in after midnight. So a lot of this shit is economics, man. How our women relate to us changes based off the resources that we have.
Right.
Motherfuckers be doing all this bullshit right here and shit is paid for. It's like, hey, what is all this bullshit about? When motherfuckers don't have to go out and work, when it's a choice different. And they don't have to work, it's a different relationship. But when a motherfucker can't keep the lights on and he's struggling trying to fix this, that, and the third, then that's when all of that bullshit comes. And it's fucked up, but that's just how it is. So my whole goal is to get us to handle us differently, period. You know what I'm saying? When we're handling us differently, then everything around us moves like it should. And it's kingdom business. We're kings. We should move like kings. We have kingdoms,
I
right?
support it.
And that's how that works.
So this is what I want to do because we running up on the time to where we have to kind of start breaking everything
and this
down.
Is one of the ones like, where we didn't have to really ask a lot of questions because he was coming with a lot of good information.
And that's why I wanted him here. And I want to invite you back.
I'm here, man. Like, I appreciate you.
I want to invite you
appreciate
back.
Appreciate what y'all
doing. Rob, I want to invite you back because I got so many questions for you that I have never tapped into. You know what I'm saying? Because we had so much going on. But I want to invite both of you back, man. Because
Rob is a co-host on the Wealth Wednesday.
Okay.
So when we do Wealth Wednesday platform at night on Wednesdays, he's available for questions. So that's going to be powerful. I'm excited to have him on board.
Because I have so many ideas to where I just want to know, like, I want to say on your side, I want to know, like, A, is the shit legal?
No. Yeah. You always want to make money legal. Don't make it illegal.
Yeah. I want to know, is it legal?
Is it legal?
And then, you know, if it's not, how can we kind of skirt around certain things?
Make it legal.
Do whatever. But I have, like I said, I generate ideas all the time, and I just want to know, like, what can we do? So I want to get you on maybe I'm not the only one with these thoughts. Maybe other people have had these thoughts so that we can have and we can just chop it up.
And where are our app writers? That's what I need to know.
So, once again,
the app writers.
I want to get into where can we find you on social media, LinkedIn, all of the above. Where can we find you? And just if someone else has questions.
Yeah, like what can they do to not get kicked out of their house?
Yeah. He's the defense, legal defense game.
Right. I'm the guy who kicks people out of their house. I'm the boogeyman.
No, he got legal defense strategies, though.
But so I'm with David over there on his side. So, you know, I'm around, you know, anyway we can help out. I'll give you my information, too, after this. But I'm just around here to help. And like I said, if I can't do it with a group of attorneys and stuff I know, we are here for the community, right? So we always try to at least plug people because my big thing as an attorney is it breaks my heart. It's like people won't pay you $15, $75 for a phone consultation. They'll call you afterwards, though, and be like,
When I'm in desperate need of
Like, yo, they're coming to get my car.
Right now, goddamn, the judge talking this bullshit.
You know, my favorite is, hey, I got served like 29 days ago, and I need you to answer tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Or can you come to me with court tomorrow? It's like, about what? Just come to court with me. I don't know what this is about. Like, right. You want all this help. You need to start off with just a simple conversation so I can even see, like, do I do that? Can I find somebody else who does that?
Man, we finna wrap up in 5 minutes. Why are you dapping everybody up?
But anyway, we can help definitely here because, like you said, we just have to, when you know better, you do better. As Dave and I like to say, there was this preacher who said it best, eagles fly with eagles. Pigeons can't fly with eagles. And so you have to figure out where you are on the chain, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring people up to that status, like you all said earlier. We need to be in the top 100.
Being a pigeon.
Pigeons have the ability to fly and choose not to. They wait for someone else to feed them.
I like that.
And they got the ability to just skirt, and they don't.
I like that.
And they know they're going to blow up when you give them pop rocks.
Eagles fly with eagles.
But they still bust them bitches
at 30,000 feet.
People don't understand, especially when we're talking about Black America and especially Black males. The main thing is intellectual capital.
Right.
Economics is a part of it.
Right.
That's not everything. Intellectual capital is with everything. You know, we have to unlearn and relearn. And in unlearning and relearn, we have to go to what we've been taught. Because most of the time, what's being taught is a bunch of BS.
Yes.
We taught it through people who were being enslaved. And they gave us principles.
And people who were enslaving us.
Right. And they gave us principles to follow their guideline. Now, I'm not saying when in Rome, you do as the Romans.
Right.
But you have to unlearn and relearn to figure out the best way to do it. And the best way to do it is having intellectual capital to be able to attack it, not only aggressively, but with sound decisions. And that's what they're bringing. You know, he just told me something. I've been at that building and didn't know that something was inside it that could help unplug some things that I'm doing. You know, and it's just that simple, you know, listening to people, you know, understanding and really you have to unlearn and relearn. You got to retrain your mindset. And I'm gonna end with this. I used to didn't understand the difference between a house Negro and a field Negro. Mm. But what the difference is, a house Negro, I used to just hate it, but what a house Negro understand attrition through warfare.
Oh.
That's survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
Feel Negroes understand affliction through warfare. That war is thou me, where I'm going to get it from now, who going to take care of this for me, and that's the difference. So, hey, I ain't got nothing against Negroes.
But you need both to be thorough strategist.
You do, but I just heard a recent thing the other day. Where Kanye was basically talking, he was bigging up Jay-Z. He was bigging up Jay-Z. He was like, Jay-Z said, I taught you how to roam in a room full of vultures. And it's not the fact that you have to change and become a vulture to act like vultures. It's just I know how you're going to act, so I know how to act accordingly. So, and this is...
What, fucking vultures.
You know what I'm saying? And this is what we want to do here, man. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all for coming out, man. I want to, like I said, we have to get this together to where I want to expand on this because... I think we tapped into something.
We tapped in late.
Yeah, we tapped into something.
But that shit was finna go.
I think this could have gone all. Yeah, I think this could have gone all night.
I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the invite, man. Yeah, I really do.
Thank you all.
So, like, once again, I appreciate you for coming out. I appreciate everybody. And
did
I
you
encourage
get your them. Social? Did you get your social?
He didn't.
Your social, you got
social media.
Yeah, he's on Wealth Wednesday.
Platform. Yeah, I'm on Wealth Wednesday with David.
At Black Anonymous.
See, the lawyers don't need no fucking attention. So they don't give a fuck if y'all fuck with their social media.
Lay low,
they
bullshit. Lay low. That's rule one. Did you not watch American?
Lawyer check. Nigga, I don't care about none of this shit.
I'm on here.
Trying to help
I'm on
you here. Niggas. Nah, I just play.
I'm on here. Yeah, you catch me with him.
Yo, you on point right there. He on point.
But once again, man, listen, every Monday we are live right here at the Blends 2, 632 South Central Avenue right here in Hayteville, man. I love to thank my sponsors, Greenwood Whiskey, my co-host, Leek O'Brien, everyone who's come out, whether it's Atlantic Clothing Brand Company, whether it's AB Zone 3, whether it's Dr. Anderson, whether it's DJ Reese Boogie, Country Cool. I love and appreciate all y'all for coming out and hanging with us, man. Listen, the frontliners, I got to get with you because I want to experience some of the, like, I've been to Atlanta tailgates.
Yeah.
I've been to all kind of Atlanta tailgates.
I never tailgate with another team.
I want to experience a tailgate from somebody else, another perspective, another angle.
So folks who go hard.
Even if I got to go to Tennessee with you. Man, we ain't talking about no damn.
Man, I wouldn't go to the gas station with your friend to build there.
But whether it's Tennessee, it's Tampa, wherever, you know what I'm saying? Like, let me know. You did say Jacksonville. Let me know. I'll rock with you because I believe in what you're doing, especially with the whole tie into the community building aspect. I rock with it. So, but like I said, I wanted to keep going. Again,
keep the networking.
We are live every Monday.
Every Monday.
Commissioner Gordon, Leek O'Brien.
Err.
Until next week, we'll holler at you.
Peace.